So I want to ask you, you've been around me much, you know, I love movies. Movies is kind of one of the ways I relax, like to watch movies. And so I want to ask you, what's your favorite movie? And sometimes I don't get to you guys over here, so I'm going to come over here. Anybody favorite movie that you love to watch every year, Jeannie? Sound of Music, that was the number one in our Bible class today. Who else thinks Sound of Music is your, like, your favorite? Oh, yeah, that's a good one, okay. Peter, what's your favorite? It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah, we just said Christmas, that's a good one here. Who likes Wonderful Life? Does you think that's your favorite? Okay. No sci-fi fans out there? Oh, okay. Patrick, what's your favorite movie? Stop, the new one, the latest one, or the original? All of them. Oh, come on. Jar Jar Binks? No. Sorry. I draw the line. Well, I actually had to break mine into genres because I like a lot of movies. I'm a sci-fi buff, too, and one of my favorite movies that has scared me the most is the movie Aliens. I mean, the first Alien was scary, too, but the second one was also very scary, but it had a lot of humor in it, too. So I like Aliens. I also love comedy, and one of my favorite comedies is Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase, and, you know, every year. And by the way, one of the ways you know what your favorite movie is you find yourself acting out scenes or quoting lines from them, where's Teresa? I saw her here. She's over here. One of our favorite lines in the church office is, thanks for noticing, Clark, that the little twinkling lights were not... Or Arthur, he says to Clark, you know, he puts all those lights up on the house and they all come out and he finally gets it lit and his father-in-law comes out and he says, Clark, the little twinkling lights are not twinkling. And he says, yes, I know. Thanks for noticing, Arthur. Yeah. So anyway, there's a lot of good ones from there. But the key to a movie being our favorite, and you can have good actors, and you know, and you got to have in sci-fi, you got to have good special effects and music and all of that too. But what's really key at the core of every movie, it has to have a good plot, because you've probably seen movies that are done by some of your favorite directors, or movies that have some of your favorite actors, but something is missing in the story of the movie. In the plot. Well, today, as we thank God for the Word, has everybody got their Word handy? Okay, get it close. Get it closer so you can hold on to it. In worship, the plot at the center of worship is the Word of God. And certainly, we've already heard the Word of God read, heard it read to you. Now you're going to hear me talk about it to you, the Word of God preached upon. But also, it's not just this Word that we're thanking God for. In the songs and the hymns that we sang, we've been talking about Jesus as the Word of God who became flesh for us. We would never truly know God without this Word, and we could never really truly know God without Jesus who became one of us. The Word who became flesh for us is the way John says it. So, good movie needs a good plot to it, and at the very center of our worship is the Word of God. It's really the highlight, whether that's the Word preached or spoken, or at early service today, we celebrate the Lord's Supper and how the Word came to us in a very special way in that sacrament. Next Sunday, we'll get to celebrate that here at this service. So I want you, and really this part of my prayer for us today, if you're looking at the sermon notes there, grab your bulletin, and on the cover, it's on the screen too, but I want you to grab your bulletin and read with me the last verse of our gospel reading today. And this is the verse I want to encourage you to take home with you and read it a few times this week and pray about it and really let it sink in. But let's read it together. Luke 10:16. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Now, earlier on in the chapter, we didn't read the first part of that, but Jesus sent out 72 disciples, not just the 12, but he sent out 72, and they were out there preaching, and after our gospel reading, it says, wow, you should have seen all the amazing things that happened, Jesus, because we were going out there in the power of your name with your Word. And in the sermon notes here, I put this word here, privilege. This is what I'm hoping. We all leave worship today understanding what a privilege it is that God has given this word to you and me, and that we too, like the 72, are sent with this word. When you leave the parking lot today, take a look, notice the signs. They're there, and sometimes, you know, when you drive by a sign over and over again, you kind of stop looking at it, but there's one over here, and there's one right here going out into Portland, and even if you go out on the north, exit through the north, you'll see the sign. It says, "You are now entering the mission field." You are going to share that word of God. We are called and privileged to carry that word. And Jesus says, you know, when you speak my word, it's just like me speaking to those people through you. That's a great privilege. It's also a pretty big responsibility that God has given to us and blessed us with. So, whenever we speak from the Bible, you know, this is Jesus, really, the word speaking through us. And that's amazing. And it makes me think about the verse in Scripture that says, we have this great treasure, but in jars of clay. That's me. I'm a jar of clay, and you're a jar of clay. I'm a sinful human being. I'm fragile and broken. And yet God says, but I have put my word in you, and you carry this great treasure. And in the Old Testament reading there, it was great. It says, you're going to be called a diadem, like a royal crown, kind of like we had in the children's message there, because you are carrying this beautiful treasure of the message of God's word. It really is His love letter. His love letter to you and me, and His love letter sent through you and me to others. So it's a tremendous, tremendous privilege that we have to share the Bible. So I want to ask you to do two things in prayer that will really, I think, bless this word of God. First of all, as your pastor, the one who's most often up here preaching, I want to ask you to pray for me as I share the word, as I'm the proclaimer of God's word to you. And a couple months ago, I said, you know, I would encourage you to do that on Saturday, because that's kind of when I'm doing the final prep. You know, the joke is always, yeah, you got up this morning and wrote your sermon, right? No, you know, because I like to do the sermon notes. We work ahead, but I'm kind of going through it kind of for the last time, and then I do that again when I get up on Sunday morning. So you could do it either Saturday or maybe first thing when you wake up on Sunday, but say a prayer for me as the one who's going to be preaching and sharing the Word of God. But also, I want to ask you to say a prayer for yourselves as you enter out into the mission field. And that might be your classroom at school. It might be in your neighborhood at home. Might be in your workplace, amongst your friends, or wherever the Lord is sending you this week. Pray that the Spirit would bless you and use you to share this wonderful treasure, this Word of God. And I'm very thankful to be a Lutheran Christian too. And one of the blessings, you know, as a Lutheran pastor, is a part of our training when we are at seminary is helping hold on to the whole truth of God's Word. And the two main teachings are law and gospel. And I'm going to talk a little bit about both of those teachings. And they're very powerful messages to us, the message of the law and what it does for us, and the message of the gospel. And sometimes people think, well, the law and the gospel, they're totally separate, or the law, that's an Old Testament thing, and the gospel is the New Testament, because that's when Jesus came. But let me give you an example of one verse that has both law and gospel all wrapped up in one verse. It's in Romans. Paul says, the wages of sin is death. That's the law. But the verse goes on and says, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. And we need both. We need to hear both of those messages. So they're not so much opposites as they're complementary. And I know some of you are in the deepest depths of woe because the Packers... something happened last night, right, Pat? I don't know. I'm not sure what happened. I didn't stay up to watch. You know. No, I heard word. But I want to share this story about things that seem like they're opposite, but they're really kind of the same. I said I'm a movie fan. I also like comedians. Any George Carlin fans out there? Okay. When he does his clean stuff, I like him. But he's not always the cleanest of comedians. But he does this really good clean routine on the difference between football and baseball. So I'm just going to read kind of his routine here. He says, In football, you march downfield with a punishing ground attack and an aerial assault to break into the opposing team's end zone. That's how he describes football. And he says, baseball, the object is to go home. Just to make it home safe. And you kind of chuckle, like, yeah, I guess they are kind of different, aren't they? And yet, they're really, the ultimate goal is the same, to win. And the ultimate goal of the law is the same as the ultimate goal of the gospel. It's to lead us to Jesus Christ so that we know Him, the Word, who became flesh for us. And that's why I say, the whole of Scripture, from Genesis 1:1 all the way to the last verse in Revelation, is God's love letter to us. And we have this great privilege to share it. So let's look at these two teachings. What is the message of the law? And there's lots of different ways to look at it, but the easiest way for me to remember is the SOS. You know, when the people were on the ships and they were in trouble, they would send out, you know, in Morse code, it's dot, 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 dash, 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 dot, dot, dot. And it stood for Save Our Ship. Well, the law has an SOS, and the gospel has an SOS too. And the SOS of the law is it shows our sin. It shows us who we are. So I'll do some confessing to you today, because I went to the doctor to have a checkup, Dr. Schrader, a couple weeks ago, and I said, I want to have my blood work drawn and have my blood work done. And then I thought about it. I said, well, actually, my wife wants me to have my blood work drawn and my blood work done, because I'm just like you. You know, sometimes we don't want to go to the doctor because we're afraid of what we're going to find out. And so here it is. This came in the mail. This is good God's good time. This came in the mail yesterday. This is all these pages of my blood work. And it showed me some things, and this is very interesting. The title of the where they sent the blood work to have it analyzed is called True Health Diagnostics. And I was thinking about, that's God's law. It is true spiritual health diagnostic. It shows us exactly who I am. It shows exactly who you are. And this is what God's word shows us. The law in particular shows us our sin. It shows us that we are sick. It shows us our sickness, our spiritual sickness. So in there, you know, they said, well, you need to get your cholesterol down. Probably be good not eat so much carbohydrates, because diabetes runs in my family. You know, you want to be careful with blood sugar levels and all that. So, okay, Margie, I said it in front of everybody here. That means I got to go home and throw away that bag of potato chips that I picked up on Friday before this came in the mail on Saturday. Don't. Yeah. She can hold me accountable. So that's what God's Word does. And the way that the Scripture, and Luther in the Catechism, he says God's law is like this big mirror. So how did you look this morning when you first got up and looked in the mirror? Don't tell me. That's one of those just ponder, you know. Maybe a little of this and a little of this. So, you know, when we first look in the mirror, oh, and then we see, yeah, not such a pretty picture. And that's what the law does. It actually says, look at yourself spiritually. And it shows us that, as we said in our confession, God, I've sinned in my thoughts, sinned with my words, sinned with my actions, both the things I've done that you don't want me to do and the things I haven't done, like maybe be in the Word, not done everything you wanted me to do. So the law has this powerful message to show us who we are, to show us our sickness, to show us the need we have. And that would be terrible, by the way, if that was the end of the message. But it's law and gospel. And the gospel has an SOS too. And it shows our Savior. It shows us the cure to our sickness. Because the Bible says we all have this disease of sin and none of us can cure ourselves. But the good news of the gospel, and that's what the gospel means. It means good news. It actually is the same word that we get in Greek, that we get evangelism from. Evangelism in Greek comes from the word oi, which means good, and angel, like message or messenger, a good message. And we just heard again this Christmas season, didn't we? Here's the good news of great joy for you. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That's the gospel. That's the good news. God loved us enough to send Jesus to die for us. Jesus loved us enough to be born to die for us. So the gospel shows us our Savior. The gospel shows us this amazing cure. And they're really not opposites, the law and the gospel. They're really complementary. They complement one another. The law points us to the gospel. And you know what the gospel does in terms of the law? It really makes us appreciate the law that much more. To say, because here's the truth. They both have their foundation in God's love for you and me. You know, like a parent, you have rules for your kids. You know, things not to do and not to do. Why? Just because you want to be a meanie? A bully? No. Because you care about your child or your grandchild. So you have rules to try to protect them. And when they mess up, the idea is to get them back on track. And so God has given us the law too, in love. And you know, Jesus, when he's asked, what's the greatest commandment? What's the greatest law? He said, well, you can summarize them with this. Love God with all your heart. And he said, then you can summarize all the rest of them with love your neighbor as yourself. So it has a foundation of love too. But the law does show us how we fall so short. And that's the very literal meaning of the word sin. It means to fall short. So we need the gospel message. And in love, God revealed to us. And this is the season of Epiphany, where God has revealed who Jesus is and why he was born. And we thank God for that word that shows us very, very specifically God's great plan for our salvation in Jesus Christ. So you have been blessed with a great gift. And, you know, sometimes when you got shelves full of Bibles like we do, or multiple copies, or I got it on my cell phone, or I can get it emailed to me, sometimes it's so available that we actually take this wonderful thing for granted. So I want to give you today some very practical things that I think will help you and help the Spirit help us to get more out of this Word of God here specifically on Sunday morning. And here's one. Read the text that I'm going to be preaching on before you come to church on Sunday. And so here's how I'm going to help you do that. I like to send out a weekly email, so I've been doing it for a couple weeks now. But I put in there, here's the text I'm going to be preaching on. So maybe Saturday night before you go to bed, just open up your Bible and read that verse. And that leads really to number two, which is come to church anticipating hearing from God. If you read that verse before you go to bed on Saturday, and then go to bed and say, well, I look forward to hearing from you, God, tomorrow, what you're going to tell me about that word, what you have for me. So a sense of anticipation that God speaks to us through this word and through the word and the sacraments that we're blessed to experience here on Sunday morning in worship. And then the third one is I do encourage you to take notes, you know, and some of you like doing that and some of you don't, but There is something nice about actually writing things down. I told the new members this yesterday. I said, no pastor likes to hear this statistic, but this is statistically true. For the average person, whatever you hear, and if you just hear it, in 3 days or 72 hours, you forget 95% of what you've heard. So that means 95% of what I've told you today, you'll forget unless something happens. And by the way, the good news is the Holy Spirit is working on us to prevent that from happening. But there are things like taking home the bulletin with you. I hope you don't just leave the bulletin sitting in the pew when you leave. Take it home and read that verse again. And then do the next thing. Talk about it. Discuss it. And you don't have to wait till you get home. You can even do that in the car on the way home. What did God's Word say to you today in worship? What did you hear Him? And you can do that with your kids or your grandkids or your spouse or your friends. Co-workers, discuss what you heard. But the really powerful thing, though, is when we take this word of God and we put it into action. And like today, a very simple way to put the word into action would be, I'm gonna spend some time in God's word this week. Not just here on Sunday, but tomorrow. So help me do that, Holy Spirit. I know Satan doesn't want me in that word. He's going to try to throw up some roadblocks. But I want to be in the Word. Maybe you'll just read through our memory verse a few times this week and ponder it. And this is the great thing, how the Spirit works. When we get in the Word of God, the Spirit helps the Word of God to get into us. So the last statement on the sermon notes says this. God's Word is powerful. So I do want to see this little show of hands. If you believe God's word is powerful, raise your hand. Okay, great. Now, do we live like it, that God's word is a powerful thing, or is it a little bit more like this video?
Oh, hey, buddy, that's not a coaster.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. What? That's the Bible. Yeah. What's that doing up?
I was reading it.
You were reading it?
Yes.
At home?
Yes.
Without anybody telling you to?
Yeah.
That's weird. Why would you do that?
I don't know. It's God's word. I thought...
Wait. That's God's word?
Yeah. I mean, it's the gospel.
Slow down. So, this Bible that you say is God's word is also the gospel.
Yeah. What did you think it was?
I don't know. I guess I just never put it all together like that. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the Bible. It's just that I never read it unless, you know, someone says turn to this verse all along. But it's a good book. You know, it's got a lot of positive stories, you know. A lot of really great guys, you know. Like the guy who named all the animals. And the other guy who put them on a boat. And Pharaoh.
Wait, really? Pharaoh. That's it? That's all you got? You think there's just one central character that you might be leaving out?
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, there's the one central figure. So who are you thinking of?
Jesus.
Oh, yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So it's... Like, we shouldn't just think of the Bible as a good book to read in church, but like an everyday book that can soothe us, activate our imagination, convict us, and bring us closer to God.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Is this the same Bible with the Old and New Testament? Yeah, that's what I thought.
So, we laugh at that, but sadly, you know, in real humor, there's always truth. And sometimes we tend to not really live like God's word is as powerful as it is. God's word is powerful. We need to hear it. God's word is powerful. We need to read it, you know, in our own quiet time with God during the week. God's word is powerful. We need to learn it. You know, what does it mean for us? God's word is powerful. Holy Spirit, help us live it. Amen. And may that peace of God that really does pass our human understanding, may guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, the Word who became flesh for us.